This is the podcast from Connection Community Church for this Sunday, August 14th, 2011. Real to Real, Real Belief. During the Real to Real series, we will be using several movie clips during the course of the sermons. However, due to copyright restrictions, we're not able to include these with the podcasts.
Just for your information, as we go through this series, we're going to do a lot of movie clips and stuff. You might say, what movie was that? Well, in your bulletin, there's a link. If you have a smartphone, you can do the barcode or you can link it up, and on your computer, it'll give you all kind of extra information about what we're talking about up here and the movies we're using. By the way, that character, Robert Duvall's character, Hub McCann, I love that guy. I love characters, you know, these strong, interesting characters in movies, one of these bigger-than-life characters. And I think he gives a pretty good speech there, don't you? I thought it was a pretty good speech. And we agree, you know, that honor and courage and virtue mean everything. Money and power, power and money mean nothing. Good always triumphs over evil. True love, and the way he says that, gritting his teeth, because his true love died many years before. That's why he grits his teeth there as he says that it's hard for him. True love never dies. You know, he says, those are the things worth believing in. Yeah. But then he says something that has challenged me every time I watch that clip. He says, it doesn't matter if they're true or not. Yeah, we disagree. We disagree with that part. You know, it's important to believe in things, but it's real important that the things we believe in are true, that they're real. And that's our focus as we continue our series, Real to Real. Our focus this morning, Real Belief.
Real Belief. Good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we're two sinners who have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, Alan gets choked up in some of these films, and I do too, but Barry played my most favorite movie during the offering. Anybody caught that? Top Gun, man. I'm ready to go home and watch it.
I think you all should reach out and pray for Carrie right now.
Anyway,
it's going to be a tough preaching moment.
I need to pray and get focused. Almighty God, thank you for this morning that we could come here freely and worship you. Open us up so that we might be challenged a bit, so that we might leave a little bit differently than when we came in this morning. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, so real belief. Real belief, that's our focus today. So the question is, what do you believe? What do we believe? The really big question, it's a really big question. I guess the place to start is, do you believe in God? Yeah, not sure it works that way.
The bucket list. Well, like Carter, that's the character played by Morgan Freeman. Many of us believe in God. Many of us believe that God reveals God's self in many ways. Did you check it as they were looking out of the airplane and they looked at the expanse, the beautiful creation that God created, this glorious natural beauty? Morgan Freeman got it. The other guy didn't at that point. You know, general revelation. What that means is that we recognize God in the things that God has made.
Now, the other guy, Edward, the Jack Nicholson character, does not believe in God. And that's because his understanding is if there were a God, then he would be some kind of sugar plum fairy, some sugar daddy in the sky who grants every wish and takes away all sorrow, pain, and hurt. Well, the truth is, we don't believe in that God either. Our God doesn't wave a magic wand and just magically make everything instantly better, even though that's what we would like, even though that's what we would hope God would do at times.
Edward, the guy that Jack Nicholson played, figures that he's got it all covered. You know, he doesn't believe, but if it turns out that he's wrong, he still wins. That's what he said, because he figures that God will cover him. Well, that's not what we believe. We believe that we must confess our sins. We must believe in the one true God to have life in heaven. That's what we believe, because that is the truth. You've heard, oh, she was such a good person. Oh, he did so many good things. It's not the good things that we do, although God wants us to do good things, but it's the personal relationship of accepting Jesus into our heart and as living as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, unlike Hub McCann, in that first clip, it does matter what you believe. It does matter what you believe, and we need to believe what is true and what is real. Our belief is that our only salvation comes in Jesus Christ.
What we believe. You know, I really like that movie, Castaway. It's a powerful movie, but when I first time I saw it, and every time I see it, even see a clip, there's just one thing that just doesn't make sense to me. I just can't wrap my brain around how that character Tom Hanks never once prays to God during that whole time, from the time his plane goes down till he's miraculously picked up. I can't wrap my brain. And what really got my attention was this. This focus on this volleyball. I love the name Wilson. It's hilarious. But, you know, Wilson, how that ball becomes not only his companion, but virtually his God. Talk about what we believe. Now, notice in the scene how he's not just talking to the ball. I understand, all alone, the challenge is when you think it's answering back, which it was. But he's acting not just like he's talking about, but like this ball is casting judgment, holding him accountable, so to speak. The kind of things we would expect a God to do. You know how God holds us accountable. God would judge us. And there in that last scene, when he's putting a fresh face on the ball using his own blood, it might be a little stretch, but it kind of takes me back to the book of Exodus. When Moses is up on the mountain getting the law from God, and down at the bottom, the people are restless and they need something to focus on, and they take the earrings and the jewelry and they create a golden calf to worship. You know, he's got Wilson, which he's fashioning with his blood, and they took their jewelry and fashioned a golden calf to worship out there in the desert.
We think, how ridiculous to worship a ball. How ridiculous to worship a golden calf. Well, it's not any more ridiculous than much of what we worship. Actually, anything that we worship other than the one true God. Because the truth is, we do worship things and people, sometimes over God. We worship success and money, and we're on this climb that actually takes from our relationship. We worship the God of stuff. We even worship another person. You know, they're all false gods. Nothing or no one here can save us. Everything, when we put things and people in that worship category, it keeps us, it distracts us from the attention on the one true, holy God of creation.
Real belief. In the New International Version of Scripture, the word believe is found 289 times. I didn't personally count that. There's a thing on the internet that you can use, does the counting for you. What I really found interesting was that over half of those occurrences of believe we find in just two books, and they're in the New Testament. The one's the book John's telling of Jesus and what Jesus said and did, the Gospel of John, and then the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the followers of Jesus, what they did. Over half of the word believe comes in those two books, half of the occurrences. Believing, the central focus of this belief in these two books is this. It's believing in Jesus Christ. That's what that belief in those two books is all about. Believing in Jesus Christ. Believing that he is who he says he is. Believing that he is the one who came to save us. Believing that he is the Son of God who came to die for you and me to take away the sins of the world.
John 3:16 is perhaps the most well-known scripture in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That clearly states what belief is all about.
I would say probably the most well-known verse of Scripture, at least in the New Testament, probably through this whole Scripture. But it's important, I think, though, not to stop at verse 16. We usually do because it's simple and easy to remember. But I want to take it on over to verse 17 here because this is really important. And I'd like you to say it with me, if you would. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus came to save, not to condemn. He came to lift up, not to tear down. He came to bring life, not death. You know, when we read through the scriptures, when I read through the scriptures, I see Jesus talking a whole lot more about the kingdom of heaven than he's talking about you're going to hell. Amen? Amen. He came to share the love of God the Father, pure and simple. And that's because God is love. It's like an equal sign. And Jesus wanted us to know that. That's what we believe. And we believe that Satan does just the opposite. In this same Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says this, and say it with me if you would, please. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The thief is Satan, and the eye is Jesus.
And so Vince Papale had this note from his ex-wife. He read, Vince, you'll never go anywhere. You'll never make any money. And you'll never make a name for yourself. Vince, you're a loser. Loser. Well, he turned that around. And he used that to, like, put fire into him and to encourage himself to reach his ex-wife thought was the unreachable as he tried to be a member of a professional football team.
How often have you been told something similar to that? Somebody tells you, you can't make it. Somebody tells you, you're a loser. Maybe it wasn't an ex, maybe it was. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a brother, sister. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a coach. You know, maybe it was somebody that you were close to. Maybe somebody you weren't close to. But how often have we been told things like that? Maybe not that blatant, or maybe as blatant or more so. However, how often have others told us things intended to bring us down rather than lift us up? How often have others allowed Satan to work through them to steal, kill, and destroy? You know, I think each of us kind of use this image as a bucket, fairly full. And there are ways to fill it up, but this is not one way. Some people think the way they fill their bucket is to dip into yours and to ladle it into theirs. The problem is, it doesn't work, because actually, when they dip into yours, theirs goes down. That's not how it works. We don't fill our buckets. by dipping into other people's and tearing them down.
We have to be careful what we believe. I remember when I was getting ready to go to college, and I sat before the advisor, still remember her name, and she looked at me and she said, "You're never going to make it here." I was an honor roll student, but I had test anxiety. I've talked about that in front of everybody. And so I, on one hand, felt very defeated, but on another hand, it was just like I was ripping that lie up and I was going to get through because I knew that I was called to be a nurse. And yeah, I struggled through those tests because of my test anxiety, because her little voice kept speaking into my head, but on a bigger level, I couldn't believe that. I couldn't buy into that. How many times has somebody told you something that is an out-and-out lie? But we believe it. It is not true. You know, we believe it when people tell us that we're losers, that we don't have value, that we won't amount to anything. There's tapes in our head, and if we've got to be careful because what we believe, because then we actually start believing it about ourselves.
That guy's name's Jimmy Morris from the movie The Rookie. The problem there is he believed the 76, didn't he? You saw it on his face. And the reality was it was 96. He didn't know it was 96 or better until he went to this tryout camp. See, he was coaching a high school team. He was kind of washed up as a ball player because his shoulder was shot when he was in the minor leagues. But he made a deal with his team that if they could get to the championship, which never had happened, he'd go to a major league tryout. Well, they made the championship. And he goes to the tryout, and they want to know how many kids he's brought because they certainly aren't looking at a 35-year-old. But they let him try out because he had made this deal with his kids. And they couldn't ignore it, though, when he threw 12 straight 98-mile-an-hour fastballs. Like the guy said, if I tell him I've got a 35-year-old rookie, he'll think I'm crazy, but if I don't tell him that you threw 12 98-mile-an-hour fastballs, I'll be fired. Long story short, he was in the major leagues for 2 years. Not bad at that age, especially when you thought that you were only throwing at 76. How often have you thought that you were throwing at 76? When the reality was 96. In other words, how often have you allowed a false sign, a false signal, a false whatever to direct you, to control you, to lead you in the wrong direction, in a direction other than the direction you should have gone? You know, the thing to remember is Satan loves it when we believe the 76. That's what he loves.
So what is true? What should we believe? Well, we do believe that we are sinners. We do believe that we fall short of the glory of God. But we do believe that Jesus came into the world to cover us, to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sin, so that we might be free. Jesus came to rescue us because we were in desperate need of a rescue. We believe that. And we believe that because of that rescue, we are covered and that we can walk it out, never alone again, and ultimately can bask in the presence of the one true God in heaven when we move from this life to the next. We do believe that God created each one of us, each one of you, in God's own image. Do you know you were created in the image of God? That's how much you're loved. God loves you so much, but God wants each one of us to grow and to stretch and to live a devoted life to our Savior. Our challenge is that sometimes we get a little bit overwhelmed in this. Sometimes we have our perspective shift. We just get out of whack. Sometimes we forget who we are and whose we are.
You know, sometimes we're like those kids from Hickory High School in Hickory, Indiana, with an enrollment of 64. And we're playing in this huge arena against the team from Indianapolis from a school of 2,500. You know, if we're not careful, we forget that there's some basic truths and some standards that never change. You know, we live in a world where many people believe that this thing called relative truth, which means that the truth depends on the situation we're in. The truth is an ever-changing thing. It's like a moving target. We believe the truth doesn't change. That it's the same today as it was yesterday, as it will be tomorrow. You know, in the movie, the foul line was 15 feet from the basket, and the rim was 10 feet from the floor. No matter how big the arena, those dimensions don't change, do they?
We believe in the truth. Truth equals Jesus. We believe in God's word, what God wrote. Same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God doesn't change. God does want us to change and transform into his likeness, to be the hands and feet of Christ. We believe that God is perfect, that we're not, but that God allows us to come into his presence because of our relationship with Jesus, whom he sent for us to rescue us. We believe that while we are sinners, that we are put on this earth to be a change agent, to share the best news in the world, who Jesus is, and that we will have a life with God forever. We believe that through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, we are set free, we are redeemed, our debt is canceled. That's what we believe. Real belief.
Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The next verse says this, Romans 10:10. For it is with the heart that you believe and you're justified or made right with God. And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and you're saved. Many here today, I know, believe. It's easy to say, I believe. It says if we say it with our mouth, but I think it means a little bit more than that. Because when we say it with our mouth, it means does it go all the way down to the core of our soul? And believe means, do you truly believe that Christ is Lord and Savior, that he died so that you might be saved? That God shared himself with us, face to face, one-on-one, in the flesh, so that we might not face an eternity separated from him, but we would realize a glorious eternity with God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If you believe, maybe today is the day to pray and say, God, I do believe, and talk to God about how deep that belief is and to shore it up. Because sometimes it's easy to kind of take things for granted. Maybe today is the day where you've said, well, up to now I don't know if I believe, but maybe today's the day to realize that our only salvation comes in Christ, that we're all sinners, not worthy of God's grace, but he gives it to us anyway. That's what grace is all about. We can't save ourselves, and our only true salvation can come when we believe that Christ is Lord of our life and that he died for our sins. Steps are open. You can pray there. You can pray in your seats. Bruce would love you to come back, pray with him if you want to talk to him through what it means to have a life in Christ. Real belief. Let's pray. Holy God. Wow. If all we have to do is believe. It's not based on how good we can be. It's based on how good your Son Jesus was and is. And all we have to do, believe. Believe that He is the Savior, that He is the Anointed One, that He is the Christo, the Messiah, the One who came that we might have life eternal. Please open our hearts this day through the power of Your Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for joining us for our podcast. For more information about Connection Community Church in Middletown, Delaware, please visit our website at www.connectioncc.org. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the life that He offers.